Hi, my name is Dr. Patricia Murugami. Welcome to your next best self. I know you might be wondering, who's this Dr. Patricia Murugami? Well, I'm a leadership catalyst, a leadership coach, an educator on matters to do with life, leadership, love, and legacy. And I hope that as you start to listen in and practice some of the leadership insights we'll be sharing here, you'll begin to see your next best self. Welcome back to your next best self podcast with me, Dr. Patricia Murugami. You know, at the beginning of this podcast, I promised that I would talk about the four L's: life, love, leadership, and legacy. And maybe I haven't spent so much time on talking about relational wisdom, love matters, and I want to focus on that because I have found that many times the pain that we feel is based and sourced from the relationships we have, whether they are working out as we would like them to, or sometimes they're not working out exactly how we wanted them to work out. So I'm going to be speaking about some hopefully mind-altering, heart-raising insights because of the work that I've been doing in mentoring younger people who I like to consider to be my reverse mentors because I learned so much from them. And in this four-part series, I'll be talking about dating and relationship wisdom. I've been married for almost 20 years, and in those 20 years, I've gleaned a little wisdom. But more than that, I have had the absolute privilege of seeing marriages that are working, being close to those marriages, whether it's my parents, friends, and mentors. And when I was working in the finance consulting space, I also ran a wedding planning business. You see, I've always been used to doing a lot of things, and I felt it was important to use my talents when I had the energy to keep doing many things. And when I was doing the wedding planning business, actually the intentions of Wedding Essentials, which was one of the first wedding planning businesses within the country, was to offload the idea of planning the wedding so that the couple could focus on planning their marriage. After all, the wedding is just one day and the marriage is a lifetime. But unfortunately, what I've seen is people put so much focus into the wedding day and forget to focus on building the relationship. And horrifically, I know I have met people who come back and tell me after the honeymoon, oh my goodness, I can't believe marriage is so ordinary. And I tell them, in fact, that's the beauty. It's in the ordinary that we find the extraordinary. If we seek and if we try to make our homes just a little bit of heaven on earth. So from my experience, my younger friends have been telling me that dating is an extreme sport. Can you believe that? And I think that social media has made the situation so much harder because we keep seeing this curated, and the key word here is curated, images on Instagram and on YouTube, TikTok, and so many of the other platforms that kind of show that some other people's lives and relationships are all perfect. They're not perfect. And I think it's important to remember that the images and the videos are many times curated. A real relationship must have conflict. Let me repeat that. It must have conflict. For as long as your relationship has not experienced some level of conflict, it hasn't been tested. And I know many people think that conflict is the end of the relationship. In fact, in my own experience and observing other people, and even through the program that we run called Brides for Life, Wives for Life, conflict is essential, and conflict is in fact the beginning of the depth of your relationship. How you manage that conflict, how you ensure that you can overcome, how you realize that the conflict has shown you a different side of this person who you love or who you're growing to love, how conflict brings out emotional pieces, emotional spaces that maybe may not have come through before, how conflict also shows us what people really value or what is hurting them. I think that in a sense is a privilege to have sensed some conflict, and even better, to resolve it. So I'm going to share a couple of ideas today around life. And what we're going to do is I'll talk about relational wisdom and insights, conversations we must try and have. And I know for some of us who've been married for many years, maybe you didn't have these conversations, it's not late. But for those of you who may be in the dating space, I think it's important looking back and looking at some of the experiences I have witnessed and seen to talk about life, love, leadership, and legacy. And today's episode is about dating wisdom on matters of life. So first and foremost, why are people dating? Yeah, I think it's important to do what Stephen Covey said, begin with the end in mind. I think that it's important to ask yourself, why am I dating? Why, as a girl, am I dating this young man? Why am I putting myself out there open to dates? The other day, I was talking to some young high school girls and young men, gentlemen, and I was telling them there's no point of getting into a serious relationship in high school because the idea is begin with the end in mind. So if you're getting into a relationship, the idea is to prepare for marriage. So don't get into a close, deep, intimate relationship unless you intend to get married in the next 1-2 years. So high school is not the place. So I'd like to encourage all those of you who are in primary, who are in high school, this is not the time to go into one-on-one relationships, have that boyfriend, really, because first and foremost, it's great for you to know many people because you're also discovering who you are. It's also very important in the space of knowing many people, you have the comfort of dating in a pure way, in a way that doesn't put you in an occasion of sin. It doesn't put you in a space where you're approximately uncomfortable or where your emotions and hormones get the better of you. So in the primary and high school spaces, I want to encourage all of you in that space to actually develop the art of great friendships. Because you see, what keeps marriages going is the friendship between husband and wife. But let's fast forward and move into college and university. And there you may have the opportunity to actually start to date. As you choose to date, I want to encourage you to date people with some level of criteria. I'm reminded when I went to Lower Kabete many years ago, my mentee told me, Patricia, you've gotten this far. And remember when you get to campus, you're a first year. The fourth years are all just looking for this spring chicken, as we used to be called. Imagine. And one of the things she told me is, I want you to keep that level of boundary that you have always had. Yeah, keep your boundaries. So I remember at the time we used to attend, and I used to then subsequently give those classes later on in campus around personality development. And part of it was don't play with fire. So part of not playing with fire is that don't entertain a young man in your room alone. Meet out there. And I want to encourage the young couples who may be dating. Don't date in private. Don't date in secret. That's the first thing. Date in a space where you can see how this young man treats other women, his mother, his sisters, even other ladies. How does he treat them? Is he flirtatious? Is he always trying to pull a fast one, you know? Or does he keep his distance? Is he respectful? Is he honorable? Is he a gentleman? I think chivalry has become a very rare thing. The idea of someone giving you way. The other day I'd attended a funeral mass, and I was standing and I was so touched that one of the colleagues I'd worked with for many years saw me standing and actually gave me his seat. And I thought to myself, how many young men know that women should not be standing? If you are a mother or a father of a young son, please teach them early to stand up for the ladies. I know that this whole feminist agenda, there are some women who say, no, I don't want this. But frankly, it actually shows dignity for the human person and for the woman. More so if someone is older, if someone is carrying a baby, give them that seat. So let's go back to conversations of a lifetime. What should you talk about? Some things you should ought to talk about. Just the way you prepare for an interview, I want to encourage you, as you date, first get some quiet time. Ask yourself, why am I dating? Am I dating for a good time only? Or am I dating so as to find the husband who was created for me? Yeah, that's a lady asking. If it's a young man, am I dating just for a good time to be seen with this young pretty girl next to me? Or am I dating to actually get a wife. So spend some quiet time regularly to assess, are you also becoming the kind of person someone would want to marry? In fact, I remember reading somewhere that you're only ready to get married when you have continuously started to work on yourself and keep asking yourself, am I the kind of person I would want to marry? Interesting, right? Because I think we're very fast to throw the log out there and say that person doesn't have this, doesn't do that. And here I'm speaking also to the married ones. Sometimes if you want our spouses to espouse a certain trait, maybe to ask ourselves, am I showing that trait? If I think he's critical, maybe I'm also critical. If I think he's impatient, am I patient? If I think he's unkind, am I kind? You know, kind of just check, flip the mirror so that you look at yourself. So a couple of conversations around life. When you're dating, weave in these conversations. What do you think about life? Yeah. What do you think about the changing fortunes in life? That we may be successful and maybe we may not. We may have money and maybe we may not. What would happen if we had to downgrade because the fortunes have changed? Talk about those things when you're dating. Talk about what do you think about life in terms of how open are you to life? Do you want children? I remember a young man coming to me and telling me, Patricia, I'm about to break off the engagement. And we were working towards the wedding in a few months. And I asked him, why? He says, can you imagine she just told me she doesn't want to have children? And I have always dreamt of getting married to actually have children if God wills them. And I could see how heartbroken this young man was. And I asked him to go and have a conversation. And he went back and talked to his fiancée. And he asked her, why don't you want to have children? And I asked him to go in and not feel like he should judge her, but maybe to help her probe what is it that gives her this sense of, I don't want to have children. And what they found out, actually he helped her find out, was that she was so petrified of having children because she had gone through so much death in her past, in her own family, that she didn't want to have that pain. But you see, through therapy and through healing, she was able to overcome that. And later on, they got married. But I have found people who actually don't want to get married and have children. So have the conversation. Are you open to children? What would happen if, how would you react if something happened to me? Ask, what is it that draws you to me? Maybe it's the fact that you're intelligent or you're handsome or you're beautiful or you're hardworking. What if, God forbid, you fell sick? And how would that work out for us? I mean, I have seen couples who, soon after they get married, something happens health-wise, and the real promise of in sickness and in health checks in. But I think a lot of couples don't really think that that portion is theirs, and I pray it's not yours. But it could happen. So have the conversation. What do you think about our aging parents? How would you want us to take care of them in the future? You know, would you be open to them living with us? Do you come from a culture where people live, relatives live with a couple? Because maybe one person is a single child, hasn't experienced that, and he's marrying a bride, a girl who comes from a family that's very communal, and there are always relatives in the home. That's a recipe for a conflict that may not be resolved. So talk about it early and understand that you are dating someone who is not your brother, doesn't come from your family, doesn't have sometimes even your values, but you need to find ways to connect. When it comes to the issues around life, also it's important to talk about how do you see as bringing up children, you know, when it comes to faith, what faith do you profess? And is it the same faith I profess? And if that's the case, is that how we want to bring up our children? Or in case you're from different faiths, how do we cross that chasm? Because sometimes it's a real chasm and it causes a lot of pain and conflict. Are you open to converting or are you open to, what are we going to do? You see, so it's really important to have these life conversations, and the life space is large and it's broad. But I find the things I'm talking about today are not easy conversations. What if one of the two comes from a family that was polygamous? What do you think about polygamy? Ask him. Ask her. Because if that's how one of you was brought up, you might think that that's the way you want to proceed. But you see, marriage, Christian marriage, is one man to one woman, right? And so what if she came from a broken home? It doesn't say that because you came from a broken home, your home will be broken. No, I've actually seen people change the pattern and change the trajectory. And so the question is, okay, so I came from a single parent home. If that's the case, then what do you think? How should we ensure I heal from that experience? And how can we ensure that our marriage will become the kind of marriage, you know? And some of these conversations are not so easy to have, because maybe you're not at the point where he's engaged you, he's asked you to marry him, and maybe he hasn't, yeah? And so I think that these are conversations you should bring out in a very general way and pay attention. Ladies and gentlemen, we take time to research on our jobs. I'm a leadership catalyst. I'm called to many interviews at board level, at senior level, and I've also prepared a lot of my clients for C-level jobs across the world. We work hard to prepare for those interviews. I get them to do research, to do their templates, to assess what they're trying to negotiate, the values of the company. At a certain level, you are also interviewing the organization. Now, I want to ask you, if you can put so much effort, you've put, what, 20 plus years studying for the career of choice that you are in now, wouldn't you try and do even more for the relationship of your lifetime? Because unlike a job, a marriage is not the kind of thing that you'll pop in and out of and say, I'm done with this, let me try another one. No, no, no. I hope that the marriages that we can get into are the ones that you actually are prepared to make it a covenant and to ensure that it can last a lifetime. It's true. It takes two to tango. So do your research on this guy. Yeah, ask him. For those of you who are dating later in life, ask him, tell me about your life. Where have you been? You know, what have you been up to? I know there are people who are dating in their 40s, in their late 30s, and you're dating this man and he's been mysterious. I think it's really important that we are open. And I know sometimes we have chapters in our lives that we don't want to talk about. But I want to encourage both men and women, whatever chapters you've had, if, for example, you're widowed, or maybe you had a child and you did the great thing of actually ensuring that that child was born and not aborted. So it then means that when you're dating, tell the person you're dating, I actually have a child, so that from the onset, they know that life entails that child who may be living with you or with the mother. Yeah, for the men, I think it's really important that you're honest. Same thing with the ladies. When you think about life, finally, talk about money. Money is one of the things that breaks a lot of relationships. So when you're thinking about money, some people say, the girls say, this is my money and his money is our money. I think that's really a false notion. Yeah. So find out, what is your money personality? Maybe I'm the spender and you're the saver. Maybe there are opportunities where, if I'm the kind of spender who spends so carelessly and recklessly, then maybe you're the better one to be a better caretaker of our money, because money is just something to be taken care of and invested and used wisely. Money is not an end all in itself. So talk about money. Talk about how you view money. Are you the kind of person who is miserable when you're broke and very ecstatic and happy when there's money in your account? You know, there are people like that. There are people who live with a lot more month at the end of their money. By day two of the month, they've spent all their money. Not because they don't make a substantial amount, but because when they have it, it's an itch and they have to spend it. I encourage you, perhaps there's an opportunity for you to really get deep down into the past relationships you have had with money, the past pain that money has caused you in your own life and also in the lives of the families, the family that you come from or the families around you. Finally, when you're talking about life, I hope that you have an opportunity to engage a good premarital counseling program and take the time. If you did a master's for your profession, why not invest every year into something that will strengthen your marriage when you're finally married. And for those who are not married and have the vocation to be married, invest in programs that strengthen your ability to actually get married. So for example, I've seen that there's a Maisha program from the Program of Family Development and many other great programs I've seen around where you actually get first-hand experience from couples who have the values you're looking to achieve and to live and actually will tell you the do's and don'ts and how to navigate the challenges of marriage. So finally, don't date just for a Java coffee or for some stint at Vasha with a group. No, I hope that when you're choosing to date and you're dating with a purpose to get married, you've put down some of the things that are a must have. You know, whether it's a matter, a question of faith, whether it's a question of other values that you think are critical for you to find in a spouse. So I wish you the very, very best, those of you who are in the dating space. And for those of us who are married, I think some of these conversations are still relevant and critical in this day and age. Remember, to become your next best self is fundamental, whether you're single, married, or in the process of moving from singlehood to marriage and beyond. I want to encourage you, aim to be your next best self by taking some of these questions to your reflection and to the conversations you're having. Thank you.